Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. Recently, I was able to teach our London church staff on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the lessons in this passage are worth a few podcasts, I think. We're looking today at a continuation of the theme of Paul's motives in this chapter. In verse 3, he says, "The appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts." We've looked at in previous podcasts at the idea that Paul's motives were right because he was living out a calling from God. It wasn't just his own selfish ambition that led him to go to Thessalonica and start this church. But also his motives are right because he's living to please God and not men, as he says here. It has been laid at his door an accusation that he has been preaching out of error or impure motives, going back to verse 3. Perhaps there were false teachers around, making the gospel easier, looking for material gain or popularity. But surely Paul could not be accused of these faults. He was preaching what you might call the full gospel, the gospel of suffering, as well as the gospel of glory. He himself was frequently in need and often unpopular. He preached what he preached, and he went there to do what he did out of good motives. It is true that at the time that Paul was going around preaching and teaching, there were philosophers and preachers of other religions that did not have pure motives. There were some who aimed to attract followers for money, for sexual pleasure, or both. But he says, "We didn't trick you in this way," the word trick coming from using bait to catch fish. I know we all hate that kind of trickery, when someone cold calls us on the telephone to try and sell us something, but begins with a cheery greeting and an assumption that we've been lifelong friends. It doesn't go down very well. This is a trick. This friendship is not genuine. It is to sell us something. But Paul says, no, that's not how we treated you, and you know it. And it must have been the case, or else they'd have thrown it back at him. No, we don't believe your motives were real, but were pure. So presumably some in the church or outside the church had been attempting to influence the faithful to lose their trust in Paul's motives. The fact that he can be so direct in calling attention to the purity of his motives is testimony to the level he feels he can trust them. Like Paul, we are called to serve men, yes, but not with the aim of pleasing them. And this is a tricky balance at times. Perhaps people being pleased by our service is a byproduct, but it can never be the goal. Verse 4, we are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. Our goal must be to please God, not people. The heart being tested is the whole of our inner life, not just our emotions. Paul feels a great sense of encouragement towards the people of Thessalonica, and he's happy to encourage them, as he does in this chapter, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 2 to 10. He is, I would say, effusive in his praise of the Thessalonians. But this is not flattery. In verse 5, you know we never used flattery, back in chapter 2, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. It is not flattery. His readers would have known if it was. Instead, Paul combines sincere warmth with straight truth. Now, perhaps that is a good little thing for us to think about today. Today, to combine sincere warmth with straight truth in our conversations with one another. Well, next time I go on to finish off this point about living to please God. Until then, if you'd like to know more about our church, you can find us at nwlcc.org. My email is malcolm.cox@iccmissions.org, and my Twitter feed is mccx. I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.